Praise and thanks be to our God for his grace, which he bestows on us anew every day. We do not come together here out of habit. We say it again and again, but there is something in us that urges us to do so, to appear before him, to dwell together with him, yes, to be blessed by him. And for this we are so grateful to our Lord. I am always grateful to him that he allows me to come, that I can and may approach him. Not only that, but that I am given the opportunity to come before him as I am. And we know that the Lord our God is a gracious and merciful God, a God who leads and guides us into all truth. Maybe it doesn't seem that way to one person or another, but we know that the Lord God is faithful and stands by what he has said by his word. He stands by those who cling to him and follow him. So may God grant us grace that our endeavors, as we heard yesterday, that we endeavor to follow him through the power of his resurrection. Perhaps I would like to read from Joshua, chapter 23. Here it is written, Joshua 23. And it came to pass a long time after that the Lord had given rest unto Israel from all their enemies round about, that Joshua waxed old and stricken in age. And Joshua called for all Israel, and for their elders, and for their heads, and for their judges, and for their officers, and said unto them, I am old and stricken in age, and ye have seen all that the Lord your God has done unto all these nations because of you. For the Lord your God is he that has fought for you. Behold, I have divided unto you by lot these nations that remain, to be an inheritance for your tribes, from Jordan with all the nations that I have cut off, even unto the great sea westward.
Vom Jordan an bis an das große Meer, jeden Sonnenuntergang.
And the Lord your God, he shall expel them from before you, and drive them from out of your sight, and ye shall possess their land, as the Lord your God has promised unto you. Be ye therefore very courageous, to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, that ye turn not aside therefrom to the right hand or to the left, that ye come not among these nations, these that remain among you, neither make mention of the name of their gods, nor cause to swear by them, neither serve them, nor bow yourselves unto them, but cleave unto the Lord your God, as ye have done unto this day. For the Lord has driven out from before you great nations and strong, but as for you, no man has been able to stand before you unto this day. One man of you shall chase a thousand, for the Lord your God, he it is that fighteth for you, as he has promised you. Take good heed therefore unto yourselves, that ye love the Lord, your God. Else, if you do in any wise go back and cleave unto the remnant of these nations, even these that remain among you, and shall make marriages with them, and go in unto them, and they to you, know for a certainty that the Lord your God will no more drive out any of these nations from before you, but they shall be snares and traps unto you, and scourges in your sides, and thorns in your eyes, until ye perish from off this good land which the Lord your God has given you. And behold, this day I am going the way of all the earth, and ye know in all your hearts and in all your souls that not one thing has failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spake concerning you. All are come to pass unto you, and not one thing has failed thereof.
Keine einzige von ihnen ist unerfüllt geblieben. Aber wir alle sehen,
therefore it shall come to pass, that as all good things are come upon you, which the Lord your God promised you, so shall the Lord bring upon you all evil things, until he hath destroyed you from off this good land, which the Lord your God has given you, when ye have transgressed the covenant of the Lord your God, which he commanded you, and have gone and served other gods, and bowed yourselves to them, then shall the anger of the Lord be kindled against you, and ye shall perish quickly from off the good land which he has given unto you. Up to here, this precious and holy word. We know and are familiar with the word of God that has been left to us, and the promises that have been left to the people of Israel, his own, his chosen people. Just as the Lord, as we have just heard and read here, made it a condition to serve him, to follow him, to offer him alone homage, worship, indeed everything that was in and about them, and not only to them, but also to us, as we heard yesterday. The Apostle Paul, or rather the Spirit of God, through the Apostle Paul, wrote or had written that we should keep to the sound doctrines, to what God has given us and what God has made available to us. May God help us. We have heard and read here about the way in which the Spirit of God endeavored to warn his people, to point out to them the way in which they should serve him, to keep and fulfill the law of Moses. It was the Lord God who was concerned to be gracious to his people, to show his people his favor, and to fulfill the promises he had made. And if we want to learn from this, we, you and I, each of us, should endeavor to look at the promises, yes, to hold on to them, the promises that have been given to us, that the Lord spoke long ago through his servants and prophets. We have heard here that they were not to mix, that they were to stay away from all this, that they were not to do anything that could cause offense to his name, And so it is in our time, and especially in the time in which we live. Brother Frank already touched on this yesterday and pointed out the way in which our salvation, if I may put it this way, which was granted to us through Jesus Christ our Lord, is being trampled underfoot. The salvation that our fathers had to pay for with blood, that they had to win and bear witness to the fact that there is only one salvation in Jesus Christ, that there is only one redemption in the one who made the promise. How disdainful, indeed, how reprehensibly this precious gospel is trampled underfoot just to achieve unity in the eyes of men. But that is not how it was with God. We have heard here how he warned them, else, if you do in any wise go back and cleave unto the remnant of these nations, even these that remain among you, and shall make marriages with them, and go in unto them, and they to you, know for a certainty that the Lord your God will no more drive out any of these nations from before you, but they shall be snares and traps unto you, and scourges in your sides, and thorns in your eyes, until ye perish from off this good land which the Lord your God has given you. And if this word or warning and admonition has been addressed to those who were long ago before us, and this word has been written down for us as a warning by which we learn that we do not mix, that we do not enter into a covenant with those who are against the word and the truth. If we look back, and perhaps I may be permitted to say, as Brother Branham said, it was the angel of the church, Martin Luther, who stood firm in everything, and God made him firm in the message of salvation, in justification. How much more should we, who have come so much closer to the day and hour when the Lord will appear, hold fast to what has been given to us through the revelation of his Spirit, through the revelation that has been brought to us through the Word. Yes, that his name has been revealed to us, that we know who he is and what he has done for us. May God help us and give us grace to cry out and say with this man, as he says here in chapter 24 from verse 14, "Now therefore fear the Lord, and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood, and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served, that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Isn't that our decision? Isn't that your decision and mine? I, or we, and our house will serve the Lord. Have we not locked it in our hearts to renounce everything that wants to keep us away from the Lord and to serve Him alone with our house and with everything that is within us and about us. May the Lord help us to lift up His name. Amen. Praise and thanks be to the Lord. In the last few minutes, while Brother Schmidt was still speaking, I was struck by a very special thought. And I had to draw a comparison. And I would like to share it with you here today. I believe that no Billy Graham and no Oral Roberts and none of the world famous men could give such a profound sermon, such a meaningful sermon as is given to us in simplicity by our brothers here. Do you understand what I'm saying? What use are great names? Who can help us? Who can bring us anything unless he has received it from God? And here are brothers who in simplicity, whether a brother Frank, a brother Schmidt, a brother Russ, whoever we are, in simplicity, we bring words of God that none of all the famous and respected men can bring. And we should learn to appreciate that. Who is respected by God? The one He has destined to behold His glory. And if we draw the comparisons that have just been presented to us, who is not courting today, whether with the World Council of Churches or with Rome? Who does not drink from the cup from which all the world has drunk? And as the prophet Jeremiah says in chapter 51, they have lost their minds because they have drunk from the cup of Babylon. What a grace that we are allowed to hear the powerful word of God in all simplicity, the word that has opened our eyes and given us clarity. And we are certainly not putting ourselves above others, but it humbles me to the dust when I think about the grace God has given us. And I would like to ask you all from the bottom of my heart to value and respect our brothers who faithfully bring the word of the Lord, because this is what builds us up, strengthens us spiritually, and enables us to move forward. Every word of God, no matter where we open it, has so much to say. And also, when this was read in Joshua, the Lord has set guidelines that must not be exceeded if we do not want to fall out of favor with Him. And compare what was read here from chapter 23 with Genesis 6. God let the flood come. God let this flood come. Why? Because the two lines intermingled. the descendants of Seth, the sons of God, the bearers of salvation, the line from which the Messiah was to come forth in the flesh, intermingled with the line of Cain. And the Lord God said, "The end of all flesh has come before me. It repenteth me that I have made man." Here we have a second warning. God speaks to his people, whom he has called out. Do not mix yourselves. Do not marry the people of this land, but remain what you are. For I have appointed you to make history in the plan of salvation with you. The same God told Moses and left it to us. He said, "Thou shalt not kill." The same God said, "Kill them all." And as we have heard, from the Jordan to the Western Sea, which is the Mediterranean, everything has been razed to the ground. Who can understand it? When an unbeliever reads the Bible, he becomes even more insane than he already is. But a believer realizes what it is all about. God has people who are his seed. And there are others who are not his seed. And we have also understood this very clearly in the Holy Scriptures. Two different seeds. And so we see, when we read the Holy Scriptures, no matter where, everywhere, the connections to other scriptures open up to us. The connections of God's whole plan of salvation come before our eyes and become ever more precious to us. And we even recognize the time and hour in which we live. We don't want to go into detail about what I briefly touched on last night, but anyone who is a little familiar with church history can see that the ring is slowly closing, that all things are coming to an end. And anyone who looks at the councils of the past, starting with Nicaea in particular, will see how politicians and religious people stood on the same platform. We have seen this particularly in recent days. Ministers take precedence. Politicians make their speeches. Everything is united. State and church. Politics is everywhere. But for us, who know God's Word, who know what it is all about, and have realized that God has let a call go forth, "Ye, my people, come out, be ye separate, and touch not the unclean thing." Just by the way, when the World Council of Churches came into being in 1948 in Amsterdam, there were a handful of churches there. And today, there are a good 300 of them. Everything has been swallowed up within a short space of time. But there is a multitude that will not bow its knee to Baal. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We bow before God. Even if we almost have to give our lives, we are not afraid of those who can kill the body, but of him who will give up the souls of those who have not listened to him. Thanks be to God for every person who hears the true word of God in these days who takes it seriously and who has understood the great and deep meaning of the last call, who not only talks about it and perhaps plays a bit of house politics with it, but who is himself permeated by the Word of God and can become one with this Word and thus be united before God and with God and can stand his ground before him. These people whom God laid out were destined to remain a separated people. And you all know what happened later, earlier, and even later, not only in Genesis 6, when Balaam, this false prophet, you can hardly call him anything else, when he appeared, he simply said, "We all serve the same God. You can take our daughters, and we can take your sons," and so on. And what did we hear? God did not forgive the people of Israel for this sin. And 23,000 died in one day in the desert. Why? Because they transgressed God's express commandment and word. If all other nations do what they want, then God cares very little about it. But his people have to obey his instructions and orders. And this is where things start to get very serious. God had nothing against marriages, but he was against the union between believers and unbelievers, between those whom he has called and those whom he has not called. And a human thought may ask, what is different with believers in their bodies or elsewhere? Do not ask yourself such things, but believe God. He means what he says and says what he means. And we have to respect his decisions. What moved me so much was the deep intimacy of these men of God who were destined to lead his people in their time from God and to give them binding instructions. Whether a Moses or a Joshua, here Joshua says, "And behold, this day I am going the way of all the earth, and ye know in all your hearts and in all your souls." What deep intimacy comes from these words. Consider with all your heart that not one thing has failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spake concerning you. Where have they been fulfilled? With you. The emphasis is on this. The promises of God are not fulfilled anywhere. They are fulfilled with and among those whom God has appointed to hear his word, to walk in his ways, and to believe him. And therefore, the emphasis in this context, they have been fulfilled among you. Not among the Egyptians or Amorites and Jebusites, but among you, among his people, among the people he had destined to make history in the plan of salvation through them and among them. Then, of course, comes the admonition, as Moses had already been given, probably in Deuteronomy, but here in verse 15 it says, "Therefore it shall come to pass that as all good things are come upon you, which the Lord your God promised you, So shall the Lord bring upon you all evil things, until he hath destroyed you from off this good land, which the Lord your God has given you. That is the sad side of this story. As long as the people of God walked in the ways of God, within the bounds of the Word of God, all was well. The promises were fulfilled, and the moment they crossed the word, they crossed the boundary, this line, and already they were given up and were driven out, were exterminated and given over to persecution. Everything God says is true, whether it was said in this way or that way, or concerns this or that area, everything applies. Here, in chapter 24, it says from verse 19, "And Joshua said unto the people, Ye cannot serve the Lord, for he is an holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins." God saw it, and Joshua, as a man of God, had the revelation through the Spirit that the people of Israel would choose their own way. He spoke these things with deep emotion and said, "Ye cannot serve the Lord, for he is an holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. If ye forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, then he will turn and do you hurt and consume you after that he has done you good." Beloved, these are the descriptions of God's ways with his people. They went through ups and downs. When we read the history of the kings of Israel, one did what pleased God, the other what did not please God. It was always an up and down. Let's take a look at the New Testament church or its history, how eventful church history was, ups and downs. Today, it is our turn. Today, we have to look in the mirror. It is no use just looking at the stories of the past and how they unfolded. Today, it is our turn, and we must ask ourselves, O God, where do I stand? Where do we stand? Can you fulfill your promises in our lives, in our midst? Where have we failed? Where have we strayed? Is your wrath upon us or your mercy? What are you doing in our midst? That is the question we must all ask ourselves, not in unbelief, but with sincerity of heart. And I believe that is what we are here to do. And as Brother Schmidt said, it is a privilege for him to come here, not out of habit, but because we are inwardly compelled to do so. Sometimes it may seem as if the times to come here are fixed, But thank God that we still have the opportunity. But we don't come because times or days have been set. We come because we are inwardly compelled to appear in the presence of the Lord. But these are all such serious words and thoughts that we need to think about and that go to the heart of all of us. It says here in verse 21, "And the people said unto Joshua, Nay, but we will serve the Lord. And Joshua said unto the people, Ye are witnesses against yourselves, that ye have chosen you the Lord to serve him. And they said, Yes, we are witnesses. And now comes the hammer. Now therefore, put away, said he, the strange gods which are among you, and incline your heart unto the Lord God of Israel. And the people said unto Joshua, The Lord our God will we serve, and his voice will we obey. We realize that this sharp statement, ye cannot serve the Lord, for he is a holy God, a jealous God, it went straight to their hearts. They took the admonition seriously and were of good will to serve the Lord anyway. Beloved, when we look at ourselves today or relate it to ourselves, it also hits us like a blow from the blue. Ye cannot serve God. Yes, you can with your mouth. There are enough of them. And the Lord says in Mark 7, verse 6, This people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But this is about service, about obediently following the Lord, about doing what he has said. And then we too must take it to heart and admit that of our own we are not able to serve God in the proper way and fulfill everything he asks of us. But we want to be among those who, as the people here, declared to Joshua, We will serve the Lord. And Joshua said to the people, You are witnesses against yourselves. You have said it, that you choose the Lord. This expression, that you have chosen the Lord to serve him. Only those whom he has chosen can choose and serve him. And we believe that he has chosen us as unworthy, miserable, weak people. He, the strong, righteous, eternal God, has chosen us before the foundation of the world to serve him and follow him, come what may. And he will give us the strength and stamina to persevere to the end, so that we can stand our ground before him. Therefore, put away the strange gods. There is only one God. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And him shall you serve with all your heart and with all your soul and with all that is within you. Put away the strange gods which are among you and serve the Lord, the God of Israel. And the people said unto Joshua, The Lord our God will we serve, and his voice will we obey. Isn't that marvelous? Is that your declaration this morning? Is it mine? We want to serve the Lord, our God, and obey His instructions. In Psalm 75, I was struck by one verse in particular, namely the one where our help comes from. For promotion cometh neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south. So it is, not from the rising of the sun, nor from its setting, but from the God who created heaven and earth, who made the sun to shine by day, and the moon and the stars by night, from the God who created all things. And while we look up, not to see the sun or the moon or the stars, it's a beautiful sight, but we look past everything in the Spirit to the Almighty God who sits on the throne, who created all things, and of whom it is written, because thou hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. Of the promises, it is also written in Psalm 77, verse 9, is His mercy clean gone forever? Does His promise fail forevermore? Has God forgotten to be gracious? Has He in anger shut up His tender mercies? Then I said to myself, this grieves me grievously, that the rule of the Most High has changed. We will not go into this any further. The rule of the Most High has not changed at all. He has only fulfilled what He said. If you walk in My ways and do what I have said to you, all My promises will be fulfilled in your midst. But if you turn away and serve other gods, then all these other things will come upon you. We do not need to be surprised or attribute anything to God. We have to examine ourselves. If anything has changed, it is not that God could change. He does not change, and neither does His Word. Then He can no longer do what He wants to do so much, namely fulfill all the promises of blessing. I believe this is where we come to the point that we think of all the promises that the Lord made to the New Testament Church. And we ask ourselves, O God, why can You no longer fulfill all these promises of blessing as You did at the beginning, and as You did at the time of the special divine visitation? And then perhaps we do get the answer, return to Me, My people. Align yourselves according to My word and obey what I have said to you. And then I will bear witness again in your midst and fulfill all My promises of blessing. God is true. We can never look for blame in Him, because we won't find it there. It can only be sought and found in Me, in you, in us. But we are confident that God has destined, chosen, and called us for this, at the end of days, to go through all the trials until we will see the promises of God's blessing in all their fullness, in the total restoration of all things that were robbed from the church, and our hearts will be glad and thankful. A person who has never suffered hunger, who has never been thirsty, who has never experienced bad times, what difference does he know? When we talk to the younger generation today about the times that were bad, times of deprivation, times when you didn't know what was on the table. Yes, you knew, because there was nothing on it. Empty plates, perhaps. And then came the soup. But I just want to say one thing. We who are going through a bad time will be able to appreciate it one day when things have changed, and we will realize the difference. There are others who deceive themselves, who pretend or act as if they are drawing from the full. We want to be honest and sincere and come before the face of God and say, Lord, we too have been guilty. We have strayed somewhere. Something is wrong somewhere, even if we don't know exactly what. But we are ready to come into your presence. Help us. We long for your promises of blessing to be fulfilled in our midst, that all intermingling, all strange gods, all strange teachings, everything that cannot and will not stand before God could be done away with. And the Lord, in his great mercy, could draw near and turn to us. We say, as the people of God declared at that time, we want to serve the Lord, our God, with all our heart, with all our soul. And may he who is full of mercy and who is gracious see this, our honest desire, the deepest wish of our soul, and draw near to us, and not just leave his blessing and the promises written on paper, but actually allow them to be fulfilled in our midst, in our lives, and in the entire church of the living God. Let us be grateful for the faithful and truthful words of our Lord. Let us recognize that his ways with his people are just. Let us remember what is written. Even in the way of your judgments, we wait for you, O Lord. Even when God enters into judgment with us, we wait for him. We are cast upon him. We cannot go without him, and we certainly cannot reach the goal. The Almighty God, who has led us this far and has given and preserved grace, will lead and preserve us to the end and will bring us to our destination. Praise be to his name. Amen. Faithful God, we still thank you together for your precious and powerful word. Your word will not return void. It will accomplish, O Lord, what you have sent it to do. Faithful God, give us grace to come before you in the right way, to offer you honor and worship in the right way, Lord. You know our hearts. You know our inner being. You know how we mean it. Lord, we want to serve you. We say this not only with words, Lord, but our desire is, Lord, give us grace, Lord, that we might love you in the right way, Lord. Lord, you say it in the New Testament, he that has my word and keepeth it and does according to it, it is he who loves me, Lord. Oh, give grace, Lord, that we may not be vain hearers, but serve you indeed. Give me grace, give us all grace, Lord. Continue with us, Lord, as we wait here before you, Lord. Give us all grace to love you from the bottom of our hearts, as you have loved us, Lord. For you loved us first. You laid down your life for us. Praise and thanks and worship be to your wonderful name. Lord, we cannot give ourselves anything. We cannot produce anything ourselves. No, Lord, we wait for you. And we know that you will help us in due time and give us what we need. Worship and honor be to your glorious name. Amen.